Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, January the 15th, the Pope calls any form of child abuse a despicable and heinous act. A possible ceasefire deal between Hamas and Israel remains in the works. But first, Cuba announces it will release 553 people from prison during this Jubilee year. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie. The Cuban government has announced a decision to release 553 prisoners in the spirit of the Ordinary Jubilee of 2025, which was declared by His Holiness Pope Francis. Christopher Wells has the details.
Cuba has announced that it will release some 553 prisoners convicted of various crimes. The decision was communicated to Pope Francis earlier this month in a letter from Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel, who indicated that the release of prisoners was made in the spirit of the Ordinary Jubilee of 2025. A statement from Cuba's foreign ministry notes that the prisoner release takes place in the context of the close and smooth relations with the Vatican State and outlines contacts between the country and the Vatican over the course of the past few years. The statement notes in particular the meeting between Pope Francis and President Díaz-Canel in August 2022, in which the plight of prisoners as U.S. policy towards Cuba was discussed. Cuba's statement follows an announcement by the White House that President Joe Biden had notified Congress of his intent to lift the U.S. designation of Cuba as a state sponsor of terrorism. The prisoners in Cuba are expected to be released in the coming days and weeks, with some being granted their freedom before Biden's term ends on January 20th. Cuba's statement on Tuesday said the country maintains a respectful, frank, and constructive relationship with the Vatican and the Supreme Pontiff, which facilitates decisions such as the one recently taken. I'm Christopher Wells.
Pope Francis has prayed for the people of Myanmar after a devastating landslide struck a mining area. Speaking at the end of his weekly general audience, the Pope asked for prayers for the dead, their families, and all those suffering the aftermath of the disaster in Kakin State. Francesca Merlo reports.
Pope Francis has called on the international community to offer aid to those suffering the effects of a catastrophic landslide in a jade mining area in northern Myanmar's Kachin State.
Una frana ha travolto diverse abitazioni.
During his closing remarks for pilgrims at his Wednesday general audience, Pope Francis recalled Monday's landslide that struck several homes in the mining area, causing casualties, missing people, and significant damage.
Provocando vittime, dispersi e ingenti danni.
At least a dozen people were killed, and many others are still missing, and around 50 houses have been buried or damaged.
E prego per quanti hanno perso la vita e per i loro familiari.
The Pope expressed his closeness to the population affected by this tragedy, and he ensured his prayers for those who have lost their lives and for their families. May these brothers and sisters who are enduring such trials not lack the support and solidarity of the international community, he said. I'm Francesca Merlo.
After expressing his closeness to the people of Myanmar, Pope Francis went on to ask for prayers for the conversion of the hearts of arms manufacturers. And he added an appeal for Palestine and Israel, as he does almost every week. The Pope's words came as a ceasefire between Israel and Palestine was reportedly on the very cusp of being signed. Joseph Tulloch has the latest on that deal.
In Gaza, Rosalia Bolena notes, temperatures have plummeted to as low as 4 degrees during the night. Combined with relentless storms and rain, the harsh winter has already claimed the lives of 8 children, many of them newborns, who succumbed to hypothermia. As the enclave continues to be subjected to a relentless Israeli onslaught that has killed over 46,000 people, injured more than 110,000 and displaced millions, families are struggling to meet even their most basic needs. Food, medicine and shelter are in critically short supply. Vulnerable newborns lacking access to warmth or proper medical care, she says, face impossible odds. And barefoot children, dressed in summer clothes, shiver in the cold. Bolan goes on to note that the psychological toll of violence has scarred Gaza's youngest. Planes and drones overhead evoke terror, she says, with children screaming and crying in fear. For some, the trauma is so overwhelming they've stopped speaking altogether. The daily life of Gaza's children is consumed by the quest to survive. Gaza's children, Bolan says, long for a return to school, for safety, for the simple joys of being children.
Ils rêvent de retourner à l'école.
But in the first 6 days of 2025 alone, 74 children lost their lives. That's an average of nearly 10 children killed every day. Many others were injured, some with life-altering wounds. The international community, Bolen says, must intervene to end this cycle of violence. Without immediate action, the situation in Gaza will deteriorate further, she concludes. These children deserve more than mere survival. They deserve the chance to live, grow and dream. It's our collective responsibility to ensure that this becomes a reality. I'm Linda Bordoni.
That was Linda Bordoni actually speaking to UNICEF's head of communications in Gaza, reiterating Pope Francis' appeal for peace on the rights of all, especially children. And now we will hear from Joseph Tulloch about Pope Francis' appeal to Palestine and Israel, as a ceasefire between Israel and Palestine is reportedly on the cusp.
Negotiators in Qatar are working to hammer out the final details of a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas after 15 months of war. The conflict has killed tens of thousands of civilians, the vast majority of whom are Palestinians, and has destroyed much of the Gaza Strip. An Israeli official said that Hamas had agreed to a Gaza ceasefire and hostage return proposal shared with them by Qatari negotiators. However, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office said shortly afterwards that Hamas had not yet given a response. Officials from Qatar, Egypt and the US, as well as Israel and Hamas, said on Tuesday that an agreement for a truce in the besieged enclave, the release of hostages held there and the freeing of Palestinian prisoners detained in Israel was closer than ever before. There was no comment, however, from Hamas on Wednesday, but a Palestinian official close to the talk said, "I'm hopeful that a deal can be signed tonight, or at the latest tomorrow." A senior Hamas official had told Reuters late on Tuesday that it had not yet delivered its response because it was still waiting for Israel to submit maps showing how its forces would withdraw from Gaza. During months of on and off talks to achieve a truce, both sides have previously said that they were close to a ceasefire, only to hit last-minute obstacles. The broad outlines of the current deal have been in place since mid-2024. If successful, the planned ceasefire would halt fighting that has left much of Gaza in ruins, displaced most of the enclave's pre-war population of 2.3 million, and is still killing dozens of people every day. Pope Francis has been calling for a ceasefire in the region since October 2023, the month the fighting broke out. That's longer than almost any other world leader. I'm Joseph Tulloch.
Thanks to Joseph for that report. All the details you have heard were there accurate as of 4:30 p.m. Rome time, but this, of course, is a fast-moving situation and may well have developed by the time you're listening to this broadcast. And just over a year ago, in December 2023, suspected extremists attacked 26 villages in Plateau State, Nigeria. The Fulani Muslim herdsmen struck out against Christian farming communities, leaving almost 200 dead and many more missing. Pastor Abuya Matawal, over the last year, has helped 32,000 people displaced by the violence. 1 year later, Open Doors has released its 2025 report on the persecution of Christians worldwide. Jean-Benoit Arel spoke to Pastor Matawal, who describes the events of those days, but also the reality for Christians being persecuted in Nigeria 1 year after the attack.
I've even participated in some mass burial as a pastor of people that have been killed. For example, a small girl called Purity that everybody in their house was killed. Her mother, her father, and her three siblings were all killed. She survived because she was sleeping. So she survived, and she was the only survivor of that family, 3 years old. Their primary targets are always Christians, especially when they come to a place. Like I just told you these stories, I can tell you again and again, when they get into a village, they keep shouting and shooting, and their first target is the church. You cannot live there every single day. If you wake up in the morning, you say, "Lord, I thank you." If you go out, you come back home, you say, "Lord, I thank you." There's nobody who lives around there who is not conscious of the fact that he could be attacked. The reason why I come to give this testimony is, first of all, to bring awareness. When you hear some stories, you think they are fabricated, but this is real. What we want is the international community should be able to put more pressure on our government to have the will to do what is supposed to be done to punish and to bring justice to those who are doing this kind of evil, and to make sure that this dangerous arms does not stay in their hands. And also we want the church also in the West to know that there are people who are their brothers in other places who are going through a lot of things. These people, IDPs, are still stranded and they need help.
That was Pastor Abuya Matawal, who is helping 32,000 Christians after their villages were burnt down, speaking to Jean-Benoit Harel. Yoon Suk-yeol has become South Korea's first sitting president to be arrested after investigators scaled barricades and cut through barbed wire to take him into custody. Yoon is being investigated on charges of insurrection for a failed martial law order on December 3rd last year that plunged the country into turmoil. He has also been impeached by parliament and suspended, but will only be removed from office if the Constitutional Court upholds the impeachment. However, Yoon's dramatic arrest on Wednesday brings to an end a weeks-long standoff between investigators and his presidential security team. Pope Francis held his weekly Wednesday General Audience this morning with an enthusiastic crowd of pilgrims gathered in the Paul VI Hall. As he continued his catechesis series on children, the Pope focused on their welfare this week. In particular, the Holy Father recalled how both the Church and all people are entrusted with loving and protecting children, and he decried all forms of abuse and exploitation. Deborah Castellano-Luboff reports.
In Jesus' work, he repeatedly spoke of the importance of protecting, welcoming, and loving the little ones. Pope Francis made this point at his weekly general audience on Wednesday morning in the Vatican's Paul VI Hall. The Pope continued his catechesis series on children.
Anche oggi parleremo sui bambini.
In the Holy Father's remarks, he recalled how the Lord loves everyone as a child of God and cares especially for the smallest. Yet even in today's world, he decried, hundreds of millions of minors are forced to work and many of them are exposed to particularly dangerous work. He decried all those boys and girls who are slaves to trafficking for prostitution, pornography, and forced marriages. In our societies, the Pope acknowledged, there are many ways in which children are abused and mistreated.
Nessun minore dovrebbe subire abusi.
Child abuse, of whatever nature, he condemned, is a despicable and heinous act. He underscored that it is not simply a blight on society and a crime, but a gross violation of God's commandments. No child, he said, should be abused. Even one case, he stressed, is already too many.
Anche un caso è già troppo.
I'm Deborah Castellano-Luboff.
And finally, in other news, Mozambique's new president, Daniel Chapo, has been sworn in at a low-key ceremony in the capital, Maputo, that was marred by an opposition boycott following heavily disputed elections. Most businesses in Maputo were shut and the streets largely deserted after defeated presidential candidate Mondlane called for a national strike in protest. In his first presidential address, Chapo pledged to devote all his energies to promoting unity and human rights. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For other stories, please follow along on our website and on our different social media platforms. Many thanks this evening go to Alberto Giovanetti in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie.